Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, August 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Cheese is on the table today. I say it again, cheese. Joining us is Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl, a state-of-the-art cheese-making facility in Steventown, New York, and Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler, a purveyor of fine, handcrafted, domestic, and imported cheeses, and so much more in Albany, New York. You got a question about cheese? Give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Somebody's already done that, and kind of an amusing email as well. voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. Shalina and Mary and your cheese calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we explore once again the wide and wonderful world of cheese. With us is Shalina Bridgham. Shalina has been in the specialty cheese industry for over 20 years. Since 2013, Four Fat Fowl, located in Steventown, New York, has reflected its commitment to making locally sourced, handcrafted cheeses of the finest quality. Mary Rizzo is the proprietor of The Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York. The Cheese Traveler offers handcrafted, domestic, and imported traditional cheeses, charcuterie, sandwiches, pantry items, local organic meats, some pretty cool beers, as I recall. If you have a question about cheese, give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Shalina and Mary, welcome back to the show.
Happy Friday.
Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you back. And I'll tell you what, we just barely made it to airtime here. There was a lot of logistical work being done. We have a plate full of different cheeses. We got a couple of beers. We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's catch up with Shalina Bridgham. The big event is happening again. How many years is now?
Nine. This is
years.
Our ninth one.
Amazing.
And we're ready. We're ready to roll.
Tell us what it is.
Well, it's a celebration of local, celebration of all local artisans in Steventown.
Okay.
We set up a cheese bar where you can have some cheese if you'd like. The beer diviner, whose beer I have today,
nice.
His porter and IPA, sets up bar. You could have a cold beer if you wanted to. There's lots of cool vendors. A woman that does really unique and original tie-dyes is coming. A woman that does hand-painted slates is coming. The Steventown Fire Volunteer Fire Department. These people work so hard, the Steventown Volunteer Fire Department.
Well, give them a beer.
But, yeah, they get a beer.
Yeah.
And not only are they coming to, you know, talk about how important it is to support your local fire department, but they're bringing their parade truck.
Cool.
I think that's going to be super fun for the kids.
And the weather looks good. The
weather's perfect, yeah. Which we're not going to tempt the Luster Kings this year. The Luster Kings set up. They play their amazing rockabilly.
How many years have they been there? They're there every
year. 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Everybody just loves them. I mean, how can you go wrong? They're tight. They're upbeat.
They rock.
Good. They rock it out.
Yep.
It's just a fun day for the community to really just get together and celebrate each other. Have a nice day together.
And when does this begin and when does it end?
It's 12 to 4 p.m.
Right.
It comes on as quick as it ends. All of a sudden, there's 700 people, and then 4 o'clock rolls around. We stop, and they're gone. It's amazing in this tiny little town.
Bearing in mind that we cover parts of 7 states, some people might not know how to get to Steventown. Give us a kind of a description of where it is in New York.
Steventown, New York, by the way, it is the only Steventown in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Spelled
I know a guy who used to say that
a lot of times. They got the sound signs up. You know, we really tout it.
Right.
It is situated nicely next to the Massachusetts border on the very tail end of the Hudson Valley. It is maybe 30 minutes west-ish of Albany.
Okay.
And most people are familiar with Jiminy Peak.
Sure.
Just a couple of miles before Jiminy Peak, just before you head out of New York State into Massachusetts.
Fantastic. So, that's great news. You know, I think Belchertown, Massachusetts is also the only one.
It could very well be.
But they're not bragging about it.
Well, it is kind of cool that it's like the only one in the whole world. You see all these signs when you go play, you know, sister city, whatever, here or there. There's things named the same. There's similar cities. There really is only one Steventown. It is quite unique. Something
all the world needs.
It's all the world needs. And interestingly enough, the population of Steventown has not changed in like 40-something years.
Really?
It's like it remains at like 3,000, I think, people.
Yeah.
And it just stays right there. It doesn't go up, doesn't go down. And it hangs out.
And do you, so you like it. You like having Four Fat Fowl there. Is everybody in town happy that you're there?
Yes. The town actually has been very supportive, and we do what we can to support the town as well.
Yeah.
We're, of course, respectful of the town. We've lived there, out there, our whole lives, too.
Yeah.
So Steventown is next to East Nassau, which is where we live. So it's just a short ride to work, and it's
cool.
It's an area we love. We've grown up there, and now we're... Now we're married to it, so.
Well, New York State's very grateful that you're part of our state.
Thank you.
Especially in the cheese world.
Mary Rizzo, what's happening at the Cheese Traveler and what's happening in your world?
We are having an amazing summer at the Cheese Traveler. We kicked off Cheese of the Month Club last month.
Really?
So now you can, you know, join our little intimate group that monthly picks up a little bag, which is where those cooler bags came from.
Oh, yeah, they're nice.
Yep, so with three different cheeses, a couple different accompaniments, we've got a nice little newsletter in there that tells you how to pair it and the story behind the cheese. And so we're loving our little club. I'm still teaching classes at the store in the evenings. So Cheese 101, or I did a whole series just on cheddar itself. We talked about Swiss cheeses already in classes, so we're having fun in classes.
So this class... Is it a tasting class, or is it, oh, here's how you make this?
Oh, no, we eat cheese. We are cheese eaters.
That is amazing. Just in case a couple of my daughters are listening, how do you find out more about the classes?
Well, you need to stop by the store, because they're always on the chalkboard. You can check out my website, www.thecheesetraveler.com. They're listed there under programs and events, or give the store a call.
Now, you're also teaching some classes in October at the Little Falls?
The Little Falls Cheese Festival. Ooh. It's their 10th anniversary of the festival, but the first time there's actual cheese classes going on during the festival. So people who don't necessarily want to or can walk around can still come. They can sit in my classroom. I'm doing three different sessions, so throughout the entire day, and we're eating just New York State cheeses. And each class is going to be super different, and even the cheeses are different. So it's going to be, you know, if you stay for all three, my goodness, you're going to be full.
Yeah, you know, as a contrarian, I would say, well, do I need a class to eat cheese? I just open my mouth and chow it down. What are you teaching us?
So the first class is a 101. So we'll talk about what cheese is, how it's made,
yeah.
And then we'll talk about different styles of cheese. So how come from one thing, milk, there's thousands of different flavors. How does that even happen?
Do you know everything about cheese now, or are you still learning?
She does.
No, she does.
She'll be humble, but she does.
She's a deep well, so you can just go forever.
Okay, fair enough. Mary Rizzo is here from the Cheese Traveler, Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl. We have cheese here. We have beer here. Let's taste a couple before we take a break, and then we'll get to the emails and the phones. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. You both saw the excitement level here in the building. People are just happening to be showing up, you know, and here they are.
Cheese and beer will do that.
Zach Malloy, who barely has spoken to me since he stopped being an engineer for this show, all of a sudden is like, hey, how you doing? Hey, can I come in? Oh, that's great. Well, good for you, Zach, and I hope you enjoy it. What are we going to try first here? And there's some beers. These are, again, the Beer Diviner.
Beer Diviner, I have their IPA Mosaic. And this porter, because if I remember correctly, you prefer dark beer.
I mean, I like an IPA. My only argument, and again, this comes to being a contrarian, is when you go to the store or beverage center, it's IPA, IPA, IPA. I like a mix. I like a German beer, a nice lager, an Oktoberfest.
Yeah, see, I gotta have something a little lighter. And
yeah.
this is real beer, but my... I'm generally, you know, Mick Ultra or Stella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have a... Well, you've had a few sips of beer with me before. This really... It's a little too much.
And some
for
of it
me.
Didn't work out that well, yes. The number here is 800-348-2551. So let's do a pairing here. Mary and Shalina, what are we going to do?
I was going to say 15 minutes and we haven't tasted cheese yet, right?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. If we start with that fruity, delicious IPA...
Okay.
...at the 12 o'clock place on your table, on your plate... We've got two different cheddars.
Oh, yep. You can
We've got Monk. Oh, the one in your hand, Ray, is a 20-year-old block cheddar from Wisconsin.
So this will have crystals. Old.
Who's the maker on this, Mary?
In 2006, right?
I was working
20
here.
Years ago.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my heavens.
That has got a depth of flavor in it. And the contrast to that is Montgomery's cheddar.
I'll have that in a minute, but cheers, ladies.
Cheers.
Salute.
Happy Friday.
Happy Cheese Day. There we go. Let's have a sip. Well, isn't that nice? Oh, that's a nice beer. And he's been on this show before.
Yes, he mentioned he's come, he's enjoyed it.
Talented fellow.
Yes, with lots of cool stories. He spent a lot of time in Africa learning traditional African brewing methods.
Yes, and he got some accolades from the locals, and I forget what they call it, the beer diviner.
The beer diviner.
So, okay, this other one is Montgomery, you said?
So Montgomery is a British territorial imported through Neal's Yard Dairy. And this was bandage wrapped. So this one's a little more earthy. You get kind of that damp basement smell on it.
There is, okay, I'm not sure what I'm tasting here. First of all, the two cheddars are completely different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the first one we had, the 20-year-old, is sort of what that I think the classic cheddar to me is. This has almost...
like a little horseradish.
Like a liverwursty taste or something.
It's got a meaty brothy.
Yeah. No, you don't believe so? Shalina Bridgham, ladies and gentlemen.
I really preferred the first one.
So an American classic, right?
Yes.
You want that high acid from those curds being suffocated in plastic for 20 years.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's take a break and we'll all collect ourselves. 800-348-2551 is our number. Cheese today, just cheese, and a little beer. We'll be back. Oh, yeah, we're off to the races now. It's Cheese with Shalina Bridgham of Four Fat Fowl and Mary Rizzo of The Cheese Traveler. Mary, just quickly, I don't want to dwell on this, and we're going to go to Joseph and Wine and Skill in a minute, and we'll also check the email. Tell me more about this Montgomery cheddar. I am fascinated. I've never had a cheddar that tastes like this.
Yeah, so that is the ancient tradition of cheddar making. You take that cheese after it's finished being made and it's dry enough to go to the cave, and you bandage wrap it. So it's covered in cheesecloth or muslin, and then it's smeared that over that fabric is a layer of butter or a layer of lard, and then into the cave it goes where it's turned regularly, and it's that maturing process in a damp, humid place that gives it that earthy flavor.
And it's hard for me to pin what it is I'm tasting in it, but it's so unique. Now, you put butter on the outside of the cloth?
So in ancient times, right, your cave is accessible to, you know, all sorts of flora and fauna, but also, you know, maybe a mouse or something running through.
Right.
So the point of smearing that is to, one, keep the cheese inside protected, and two, as a moisture break to control how quickly the cheese will age.
So interesting. All right, let's grab a call here before we taste some more. Joseph in Wine and Skill has been waiting a while. Joseph, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm calling about raw milk cheese. And for those who don't know, that's cheese made with unpasteurized milk.
Yep.
I have a house here in Rensselaer County, but most of the time I live in France. In Paris, actually. And I buy raw milk cheese all the time. You know, Cantal, Comté, Morbier, there are so many.
Yeah, I sell all of those at the store.
Made from raw milk?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Because that was, I read recently that there are between 1,800 and 1,900 different cheeses produced in France.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
To America, a cheese has to be pasteurized and aged for at least 45 days. But all those cheeses you mentioned are older than that. You can have the raw milk version imported, and we do.
Amazing. Joseph.
Okay. And are there dairies that are, I don't know what you call it, place to make cheese, that make them locally?
There are local artisan cheesemakers who make raw milk cheeses in those harder styles. Again, even in America, if you're making a soft ripened or a fresh cheese, it's got to age 45 days or it needs to be made with pasteurized milk. So none of those soft, gooey ones you love from France, you're going to have raw here in America. That's what you'll never see.
All right, Joseph, thanks a lot for the call. Shalina, you guys are so popular here at the fun drive time, and everyone loves the four fat fowl cheese.
Great, great to hear.
You have a sort of a set roster of cheeses, right?
Only two.
You ever think about expanding?
That is all you need.
Hard cheese ever?
It's hard. Right now we're small,
yeah.
And to put a hard cheese into production as we're gearing up for fourth quarter, like it's something that we've considered making in the beginning of the year. And then not making it again until the following year, that will be limited availability. We just haven't pulled the trigger yet. And right now, unfortunately, gosh, this is gonna be kind of somber.
Oh
but
boy, here
unfortunately,
we go.
Right now, we are seeing a increase on our cheeses that we are not sure how to account for because sadly, a few creameries have either closed or stopped making cheese.
Oh, you mean you're seeing an increase in price?
No, in our production and sales.
But that's good for you.
It's good for us. It's not good for the industry.
Yeah.
That I these are cheesemakers that I adore, cheeses that I have feelings for. And I'm actually quite sad that they're not here. So right now, while we're struggling with how to project how much cheese to make because some of these smaller companies have gone out of business.
Yeah.
And, you know, for months, it's like, gosh, you know, are we going to – what's going on here? But we seem to be okay, fingers crossed. So we were actually working on a tome, which, Mary, I've got a ton of tome questions for you.
What is that?
Well, that's exactly the question I
no.
have for Mary. What constitutes a tome? It's such a wide open category, tome. And
tome?
We're trying to dial in a tome. And now we've just discussed this morning, like, we're gonna have to can this because we can't quite figure out production. And we'll revisit it again the first part of next year when things slow down a little bit. After I have some time to pick Mary's brain on exactly what constitutes a tome.
Do you want to do it on the air or you want to give us the Cliff Notes version?
Well, I mean, I think we'll take a deeper dive into tomes offline.
Okay,
yes,
fair
enough. But I do the basic one.
Tome is kind of the shape of the cheese.
Oh.
And so it can be quite young, like a tome creuse, or it could have some age on it, like our tome chabris.
Uh-huh.
Which
one's
coming up
that?
A little bit
okay,
later on our
okay.
plate.
This
no,
one?
That's it. Yeah. Give that so that one's more fudgy in its texture, and you can see those curds are pressed together, so there's some holes in it. It's open, and so you know that it's a...
Would you consider this a semi-firm? This is like what... Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this little sponginess to it.
We're not
springy.
Tasting it now, though, right?
Oh, we can do that.
All right, should we? All right,
we
all right.
Should.
Then we'll go to the email bag.
This is a sheep and goat combination cheese.
Okay.
So this is tome chabris, and that porter might really like that roasty, toasty.
It's nutty.
It's
nutty
got some sweetness, too. It's
that's
wonderful.
That's sheep's milk.
And mm-hmm. What's the name of the brand of this?
The cheese itself is called tome chabris. It's a play on word. Chèvre for goat in French. Brebis for sheep, so chabris.
So one Ooh. Thing I've learned at this moment is Shalina is not really a dark beer drinker.
We all know that.
Could have not even said that,
fine.
And no one would have known.
It's a beautiful porter, but some people are not, you know, it's
it
not their thing.
Beautiful. I love the color. It's gorgeous.
All right, here's an email that came in, and the number is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk about cheese with Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler and Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl. David Oneonta writes, why does cheese, especially feta, always seem to smell like sweaty, gross, and dirty feet? Kind of ruins it for me sometimes because I love cheese. Thank you, Dave in Oneonta. Mary is looking irritated.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know.
So probably in Oneonta, your access to feta is limited to your grocery store unless you go out a little further.
Right. I'm going to assume it's cryovac feta and not feta in a brine.
And so that cryovacking is really not a friend to cheese.
I've never had feta in a brine, honestly.
Oh, you need to come, dear Lord.
Come to the Cheese Traveler. I understand.
So when the cheese is cryovacked, it's taken all the oxygen out of that product, right? Which is great for like shipping it and saying you're preserving it. However, cheese is alive. So imagine if you had a plastic bag over your head, you would start freaking out a little bit. And that's what happens to the cheese. And how it expresses that is a change in its pH. And so when its pH spikes, the flavor on your palate turns to acidic. So it's more acidic. We really love it in our cheddars, right? You like that sharp little bite you got?
Yeah.
But with the delicate fat molecule of a sheep, which is so round and woolly and gigantic, when you turn it rancid, that fat turns rancid because it can't breathe.
Right.
You don't actually always enjoy the aroma or the flavor.
Okay. So perhaps Dave and Oneonta could find some better.
So a brined feta is submerged in a saltwater bath. So it's happy. The salt's protecting it, but it can breathe and just hang out and be creamy and lovely and not super stinky.
Now, you know, you love cheese, Mary.
I do.
But do you think they really have emotions?
Yes.
You know, really?
I've heard that lettuce screams when you cut it.
It's alive. Cheese is it's a live breathing thing.
Well, geez, I don't want to eat anything that's alive.
It likes to be eaten.
That's what makes it happy.
Right.
All right, let's just move on. This email from Pamela and Troy. Best Buy ... is the subject heading. How long does Camembert or Brie last unopened before it goes bad? I remember a cheese snob friend of mine saying it turns poisonous after a relatively short time. And that's from Pamela in Troy.
So at the Cheese Traveler, when you take Cheese 101 or you come to the counter, we talk about make dates, not expiration dates.
Uh-huh.
Because the make date is what you want to know. Expiration dates are arbitrary. So we don't use that as any form of reference because it's a moving point.
But these are soft cheeses, and it's not a different equation?
So there's more to that. Mm-hmm. Knowing what day it was made lets you know, and if it's a soft ripen or high moisture content cheese, that water is what's going to decompose. Think of it like a fruit, right? Your orange, because there's so much moisture in it, even though it has a rind, is going to break down over time.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening in your cheese. Now, can you eat an orange that's super mushy? Yeah. Is it sour and not your favorite thing? Yeah. If mold started to grow on it, would you eat it then? Probably not, because now all of that moisture has gotten so far out of the rind that it's now able to host other things. So now, instead of you getting to enjoy that cheese, those mold cultures are having it for you.
So,
a telltale for soft ripened cheeses. Soft ripened cheeses, they generally have a six-ish to eight-ish week shelf life, unless somebody is putting into that cheese some kind of stabilizer. Having said that, our cheese, for example, each batch is different. It's not standardized. One run might go 3 or 4 months. One run might be a little softer and really only get 6 to 8 weeks shelf life. The rule for me with soft ripened cheeses is open it up, take a sniff. If you are overwhelmed with the odor of ammonia, toss the cheese. If you are underwhelmed with a slight essence of ammonia, that cheese is actually fine. Let that sit on your counter for 20 minutes. That ammonia, that gas is going to completely dissipate.
Huh.
Take another whiff. You won't smell it at all. Eat the cheese. But when you open that cheese and that ammonia is right there, that's where maybe her words of poison are coming from. You know, it smells like ammonia. You know, you're not supposed to eat ammonia. It's poison. But it takes a while to get to that point.
You know, you are a one of your toughest critics? And I know you've been on before and said, you know what, this one is too young or this.
I'm very pleased with the codes I have today,
okay,
actually.
Good. And we haven't tried them yet. But who does the quality control at Four Fat Fowl? Is it just you?
No.
Willie doing it too?
We're a very small team. The quality control starts in the aging coolers. You know, it starts from the make when you just get that brine for the pH right perfect and you start there. Then when you're in the aging coolers and you're flipping, you start to get an idea. This run is a little soft. This run's a little firm. What needs to happen to the humidity? What needs to happen to the moisture level in that cooler to help this cheese be as perfect as it can be? So the guys flipping it start the first round of QC. Then our wrapper, Jen, who hand wraps every single piece of that cheese. Every single piece of that
cheese. She's the one.
She's the one. Her name is Jen, and boy, do we appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a job.
Shout out to Jen for wrapping all that cheese. The quality control kind of starts really with her once it's coming out of that aging cooler. The guys have looked at what they can through the flipping process. Jen's pulling it off the rack, and it's this, it's that. She'll make a note. This run might have been firm. This run was a little soft. This one was perfect. This one maybe was a little too salty. So Jen really manages the QC. I check those notes, and I taste the cheese when they're going out the door.
Well, I know you said this was a good batch. Let's try a little taste. Is it okay to go out of order here?
I don't know. Mary's the expert on that.
No, I mean, I'm already into Shalina's cheese.
Oh, well, geez, what about the host? I mean, give me a taste, you know?
So that is the St. Stephen, and that date.
Yeah, you said it was June?
Cheese was wrapped on June 20th.
Yeah.
Now, generally, we tell people in St. Stephen 6 to 8 weeks, this cheese is going to go way more weeks. It's just starting to get perfect. And as Mary can attest, being a retailer of our cheeses, some batches don't do that and some batches
Interesting.
Do. It all depends on what's up with the cows. Is it hot? Is it cold? How much fat and protein is in the milk of the cow that day when it comes to us?
This is spectacular.
St.
Stephen is always a favorite in my house, but this is just spectacular. Shalina Bridgham is here from Four Fat Fowl. Mary Rizzo is here from the Cheese Traveler. It's Cheese Today. 800-348-2551, the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Jonathan writes in, I know there are vegetable, animal, and microbial rennets. Are they pretty much interchangeable, or are they used for different effects?
The short answer is no, and Mary is going to elaborate on that because she says things way better than I do.
Back in the day, there was one type, animal, and the second type, vegetable. So a thistle or an artichoke ripened cheese is going to have a very different complex flavor than that of an animal rennet or a microbial rennet.
What does the rennet do in this process?
So I call it the magic. It is the catalyst that causes the chemical reactions that changes liquid milk into curds of bundled protein. And so that's what we're trying to preserve. And without that magic, without that science, that reaction in chemistry, you don't get cheese from milk.
You got to get Willie in here with her one of these days.
Really?
Absolutely. I'm like less of a cheese and event show, more of a curd science.
Nerd.
Yes. You got to get Willie in here with her and let them. I mean, I glaze over.
He's pretty busy, though, right?
Well, I suppose I could cover him. Gosh, I don't want to go on that production floor. I really don't. It's awful.
Well, wow. Way to sell it.
Actually, it's really fun.
It's so much work.
It is a lot of work.
It's Mary Rizzo from the Cheese Traveler and Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl. A Food Friday all about cheese. 800-348-2551. Let's try one more, Mary, before we go to our next break.
All right. I teased you about our Cannellina, and so let's do it.
I think I just ate the whole thing, didn't I?
Well, I'll give you more then.
Okay.
Wait, is that the...
This one has hemp seeds in it.
Well, wait a minute. I got to drive the show.
That's all right.
All right, let's see.
Here we go. This is cow's milk from Switzerland. And so it goes beyond the four ingredients of cheese and adds an adjunct. So something in addition to the four core ingredients of cheese.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
It really is. But now I want to have some Cheetos and some Oreos.
And crunchy. And it finishes just a little cannabis-y, right?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about that either.
But it's delicious. It's got a little something to it.
The crunch. Those seeds gives you the crunchies.
All right, our bumper music will be by Cheech and Chong now. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's
but
cheese today.
On the finish.
Oh, here we go. We'll be back. Les McCann with Joe Pass doing the Frank Foster penned song Shiny Stockings here. Basie classic done by those two guys. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Cheese Today with Mary Rizzo and Shalina Bridgham. We always have fun when you tour on. It's fun.
It is.
Cheese is fun. It makes people smile. I mean, when people take your pictures, what do they say?
Say cheese. Oh, you're a philosopher, too. Brian is in Clifton Park. Brian, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon. My wife and I mean, we love cheese. I mean, I'll be honest, a lot of the cheese we buy is from, you know, grocery stores, Trader Joe's, that sort of thing. But I was wondering, from a storage standpoint, a majority of the time we just eat everything right away, and there isn't really much to save. But I'm assuming soft, ripened, hard cheese, should it all just go in the refrigerator?
Great question.
Are there cheeses that can be left out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, think of it like your fruits, right? Can you leave your apple on the counter? Yes. Is it going to get softer faster? Maybe. Depends on your counter, right? All those soft, ripened cheeses, those fresh cheeses, the high moisture content cheeses, they want to be kept cold. That's
they
important.
Also want to be wrapped generally in the original paper that you purchased them in.
Why the original paper?
That paper is breathable. It is specific for for cheese that is alive. That mold needs to breathe. It needs air. It needs some flow. When you put Saran Wrap on a soft ripened, it kills it.
Amazing. Brian, you want to follow up?
Thank you. No, I that's sort of what I figured, but I wanted a confirmation on that. I do have one last final question.
Sure, go
regarding
ahead.
Cheese and kids. So yeah. I have two almost 5-year-old twins. They love cheese, but majority of the time it's cheddar, you know, that sort of thing. We're introducing them to other sorts of cheeses, kid-friendly cheeses that you'd recommend?
St. Stephen.
Well, my kids
like
love that.
Things that aren't
I'll say that.
Strong or intense.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, your triple creams.
Havarti is usually mild. A young Gouda is very mild. But I have children that stand in front of my case not much older than 5, and they're already in the blues.
Really?
Yeah.
So it really depends on their taste and and encouraging them to try things. They'll guide you where to go.
Velveeta?
Awesome.
No, that's...
I would recommend bringing both of those kids into a real cheese shop, like Mary's, like the Cheese Traveler, or a cut-to-order place, because a real cheese shop will give you a sample of every... They'll be so happy to put cheese in those children's mouths and watch them, how they react, and in delight or disgust, they'll be very happy to do it.
And it's an education, too. Brian, thanks for the call. Going into the Cheese Traveler, one of these higher-end stores where they have beautiful cheese, you learn. Every time I walk in, you learn something, and it's fantastic. It's Mary Rizzo from the Cheese Traveler, Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl. You spoke of blue cheese. I see some with veins of blue stuff, but is it blue cheese?
Yeah, I brought two different blues today because of that delicious porter. I brought the classic Stilton, Colston Bassett Stilton, small batch production coming out of the UK.
Which one is that? There's two different ones here on my plate.
So the one closer up.
Is Stilton?
Mm-mm, the other one.
This one's Stilton.
The other one has fennel seeds in it. So
oh,
if you're tasting fennel, then you picked the wrong one.
Okay, so...
So Stilton, back to Stilton. Yeah. Stilton has a natural rind on it, and it's actually made in a lot of the same way a soft ripened cheese is made. Those curds are hand ladled into their forms, And then the penicillium is added into it as the cheese is made. When that cheese gets to be about 5 months in age, they take steel needles and they pierce the wheel of cheese. So those holes that they add are now giving oxygen to the curds to allow that penicillium to grow. And
incredible.
That's why when you're into a Stilton, you can find those little pockets of ashy dry blue.
Yeah.
And then in that creamy line, you'll get little lighter notes of blue. And so it's a real depth of flavor.
This is amazing. What happens if you melt this? Say I wanted to put it on a nice piece of cheese and melt it. What happens?
You could melt Stilton.
Yeah.
Now, there is a high fat content, so that one's going to get softer faster.
Yeah.
There are some firmer blues or intentionally, like Dunbarton Blue from Rolly in Wisconsin. He takes a wheel of cheddar and intentionally adds the penicillium to it. So now it's a firm cheddar with the blue in it. And so it creates a whole different mashup. I mean, you can blue any milk type, any style of cheese. There could be a blue counterpoint.
I know they're all your children, but what's your favorite blue?
Oh, well, so I'm really loving right now the fennel blue, because fennel and summer to me are like best friends.
I'll try that, yeah.
And so that one is spectacular. But I'm also a fan of goat, and there's a barba blue, a gorgonzola style blue, so that's super creamy but tangy, funky.
You know, you were absolutely right. It goes extremely well with the porter, really well. The fennel gives it a very interesting taste. I can't even describe that.
But imagine that on your salad instead of like a, you know, I want the crumbly blue.
Yeah.
I want the fennel blue, another flavor into my salad.
Well, I think that I'm going to give you a suggestion, Shalina. Four Fat Fowl should go in to do some Stilton. What do you think?
Not happening.
Why?
Because blue mold is a giver. This is what I always caution. When people buy blue, that penicillium wants to love everybody it meets.
Yep.
And so you bring that strain of mold into your
right.
make space.
It's a hoe.
It gets around.
Hey, let's go to the phones. It's Shalina from Four Fat Fowl. Richard and Rensselaer, you're on. Help me out here.
Yeah, well, first, what's the date of that Stephen Town party?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Oh, it's Saturday, tomorrow.
Oh, the Stephen Town?
Tomorrow. Yep, tomorrow from 12 to 4.
Okay.
All right, thanks. And then the other thing is, somebody says that 3-year-old cheese, no lactose in it. Do
Correct.
You know about that?
Okay.
It's correct.
You can have a kind of a bad connection. You said 3-year-old cheese?
So lactose is the sugar in the milk, and that lactose is the first thing consumed by the cheese as it's aging. So usually by like 8 or 9 months, depending on the cheese, that lactose is gone. So definitely at 3 years, there is no trace of lactose. But some people still have tummy troubles, and they say they're lactose intolerant, but they may be casein intolerant. And casein is the proteins in the milk. That's the whole reason we're making cheese, to preserve those proteins. So a casein allergy is not something you can overcome with time. But lactose, certainly you can.
All right, Richard.
Thanks.
Thank you. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Food Friday with Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl and Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler. So far, gotta say, I love that Stilton a lot. I mean, it's up there.
But have we tried Camembertha yet?
We have not.
Let's
and
do that.
You're thinking about Camembertha, and I'm thinking about whatever this Nutella is on.
Oh.
There's the Camembertha. I really do. I think this batch, I feel like it's pretty good.
Now, this is firmer than the three cream, right?
This is firmer than the date, but for Camembertha, this is getting right. It's that springy texture. It's what do you think, Mary? Because this is the batch that I am serving tomorrow at Celebrate of the Camembertha.
Oh, my gosh.
It's mild and delightful.
It's wow. Right?
You saved the best for your parties.
Mary, it's 8-3. It's just perfect. I did send this to you. You probably should have got this batch, too. I mean, I have to start pulling cases. Like, I better leave these for Mary.
I think the cheese I got yesterday was made like 2 days ago. I mean, we are selling through the summer like hotcakes.
Which really bums me out. Like 2 days ago and it's on the shelf already. Like, I really need that to sit around for a week before it gets out there, but we can't.
I don't have time for that.
I'm telling you, we're making more. I don't know what's happening. We cannot figure it out.
Oh, man. Do you eat cheese every day, Mary?
Yes.
Are there days when you're like, hey, you know what? No, I'm going to go have some brisket today.
It's my job, Ray.
Well, I mean, this is my job, but I try not to talk when I'm home, you know? Of course, that's what they tell me at home. Don't talk. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Cheese Today with Mary Rizzo and Shalina Bridgham. All right, let's try something else.
Can we do the one with the Nutella?
Oh, yeah. So there's a little fudgy stick that's got pink on both ends there. This is Taleggio.
Well, let me show me.
This is...
Oh, this... Yeah.
This fudgy little nugget.
This is my sister-in-law's favorite.
A washed rind, Italian cheese. Ruler rinds, if you like how it tastes.
Do you like the rinds?
Eat it.
Do you like the rinds?
I do like the rinds.
Okay, so what do you do with the Nutella?
So this chocolate and cocoa, just smear it right on there and take a big bite.
This is something even I have never attempted, chocolate on cheese. Did you come up with this?
No, I think the Italians can take the credit for that.
But it's delicious.
At the store, sometimes on my special board, you'll see instead of a grilled cheese savory sandwich, there's a sweet treat, and that's what it is. It's Nutella and Taleggio.
Genius.
That's delicious.
Genius. Yes, it's so good. It's so
I feel
good.
Like I want that in a puff pastry.
And take a little sip of porter, and now you've got everybody having a party with you.
Porter.
By the way, who curates the beers at Cheese Traveler? I found some interesting ones there over the years.
That'd be me.
Yeah? And are you a beer aficionado?
No, I love food.
Yeah?
And I call the store all my favorite things.
Well, that's cool. Our number is 800-348-2551. Mary Rizzo's here from the Cheese Traveler. You guys have a website, right?
Yes, www.thecheesetraveler.com.
Shalina Bridgham is here from Four Fat Fowl. The big event is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 12 to 4.
In Steventown, New York.
Luster Kings, cheese, beer,
what do
vendors.
You do at these events?
I host.
Well, what does that mean? You walk around, say hello?
I manage the vendors, get everybody rolling, make sure people are comfortable, let them know where they can hang out on the lawn and help them set up. Here's the bathroom. When the garbage is full, I empty it. If somebody needs something, I get it. I host.
Yeah. Do you ever stop? You ever relax?
At 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
Everybody leave. Well, and we break down. I stop about 6:30, and I don't move again until the next day.
All right. And it looks like, again, the weather looks like, you never know, but it's going to be all right.
It's going to be perfect. I already know.
All right. Let's go to Diana in Denver, New York. Diana, you're on.
Yes. First of all, Ray, I love the Food Fridays, and I think the next time you do a cheese one, you should have me on to help you taste.
You know what? I need that.
My question is, I am addicted to the Four Fat Fowl cheese. I have a little piece of it every day. I do leave it in the paper, but you said, but then I put it in a plastic bag. Should I not do that?
Are you sealing the bag?
No, I don't.
If you're leaving it in the paper and you're not sealing the bag, I think that's okay. But I wonder what Mary thinks about that.
As long as you keep oxygen around that cheese, it will be okay. But you can't, if you seal that bag, you can't leave it there for days and days and days. You've got to stick to your regimen of eating a little piece every day.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm eating a little piece every day. So should I not put anything except the paper it was wrapped in?
It would be fine if you did that. It doesn't need that bag unless there's something in your fridge that you don't want it to pick up that odor.
Because it could penetrate.
That's good. I love it. I love it. Thank you for making it.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Rick writes in, cows. I learn something every day on Vox Pop, but I never would have guessed that the temperature of the cow can affect how the cheese tastes.
The weather. Well, yeah, I guess it is the temperature of the cow because it's the temperature outside that affects how that cow is producing milk that day.
So
is that cow stressed out? Is it happy? Is it so hot? When it's so cold, their bodies, the fat goes up so high. Like you when it's so hot, the fat goes down.
So you want to refrigerate your cows?
You want to make them comfortable. You want to buy your milk from farmers that are conscientious and humane and treat their animals with kindness.
How do you tell when a cow is
you do,
nervous?
You do your due diligence and you go to those farms. How do you tell when they're nervous? Yeah. Well, that's where you'd have to get, Dutch Hollow Farms is our farmer, and that Nate Chittenden, I wonder if he's listening. Sometimes he does. Hey, Nate, if you're listening, could you please let us know how do we tell when the cows
the show's
are nervous?
Almost over. I
mean, that's all I got.
What are the odds? All right, let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Yay.
Hey, welcome.
Hi. Yes, I've often wondered for a long time, and I told our daughter a story about this when she was a little girl. How do they make those wonderful tunnels and holes in Swiss cheese? I told her they took just born baby mice who were pink-skinned and hairless, and they put them in there, and they let them crawl around and nibble in the cheese.
That's disturbing, Jim. Let's get the real answer.
Messed her up for the rest of her life.
Oh, boy. What do you think, Mary? Is that the way it goes?
So we'll answer that quick because time's almost up.
Yeah, we're almost
up.
Done, yep.
They're cheese farts.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a gaseous process in the aging.
So that's really what it is. Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just gas bubbles then.
That's right. Okay.
All right, Jim. But that's a good and somewhat disturbing
cheese
story, and thank you very much.
Cheese farts and hoes today.
Yeah, I got to tell you, thanks for saying it all again.
You're welcome. Yeah. For Fat Foul.
I'll tell you what, my producer's going to be very upset with me, right?
No, he's not. I didn't do what I usually do.
Well, I'm the producer.
I'm upset with myself.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Let's try another piece of cheese or two here. What do we got?
Well, so to just, I guess, follow up on Shalina's story about cheesemakers who aren't going to continue making cheese. In the center of your plate, you've got a little goat cheese nugget.
This one?
That I drove down to Pennsylvania to get. I'm sure Brad's not listening, but Brad Parker has been making goat's milk cheese in Pennsylvania since 1983.
Wow.
One of the original goat cheesemakers in America.
Yep.
Has his own herd of girls. Really a labor of love, and this is his last season. So this is it. We're falling in love with it and saying goodbye to it all summer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
This has honey on it.
I did put a little dollop of honey there.
I love it because it's got a little, not spice, but it's, how do you describe it? Nutty?
Savory?
Yeah, that sweetness of honey enhances any and every cheese.
Really?
You get a lot of goat out of that. You can. That is.
In France, they'll pour the honey onto the plate before they even plate cheese.
Mm-hmm. Could you do that with Saint Stephen? I mean,
yeah,
any.
I often serve Saint Stephen with honey.
You know what we did with the Saint Stephen one time at the house? I melted it, and it melts in this incredible way.
You got to go slow and slow because that fat'll just come right out.
It's great, though.
I'll tell you what'll melt real nice is this Bertha without the cream added. That's a good batch.
Well, I think we're just about out of time here. Mary Rizzo, the Cheese Traveler, open every day, or when are you open?
We are closed on Mondays.
Okay.
Every other day, you can find us there for some amount of hours. 11 to 6 on Tuesday and Wednesday, 11 to 7 Thursday, Friday. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, or 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, but we're also at the Del Mar Farm Market.
I didn't know that.
So you can just pop over there, but the surprise and fun of the farmers market, only New York State cheeses are with us.
Oh.
And so I have spent a really fun summer visiting a whole bunch of unique small batch New York makers to bring them all out there.
Do you go to the farmers market?
Some weeks I do, some weeks I don't. There's many, many projects going on at the Cheese Traveler.
Shalina Bridgham, Four Fat Fowl, the big event in Steventown is tomorrow, 12 to 4.
It's Saturday tomorrow, yep. Lester King's Cheese, Beer, Music,
and
Vendors.
You have a website, right?
www.fourfatfowl.com.
And where can we find more about this event if we're on the fence?
You can go to the website. There's a flyer on there. And there's also a Celebrate Cheese, Beer, and Music page for the event on Facebook.
Well, despite your terrible language today, I think you're both geniuses, and thank you for being on the show. We'll do it again, okay?
Thanks for having us.
I hope so. Thank you.
Support comes from Honest Weight Food Co-op, Albany, a grocery for all, celebrating 50 years, offering gluten-free, vegan, and organic options. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. honestweight.coop for more. Just hang out here and no swearing until I'm done. That's honestweight.coop for more. Stand by. Thanks again to Mary Rizzo and Shalina Bridgham for being here. You know what? They're both a lot of trouble, but they're worth it. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Susie Check Guy screened the call. She already ran out. She's probably going to get some cheese right now. Hey, have a great weekend. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you Monday.